the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers, and I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
Time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issa
and Doreen Ampofu.
In the headlines, late Komla Dumo finally goes home today. University of Ghana blocks all entries to the school except Okponglo End. Meanwhile, Parliament expresses relief at announced suspension of school's road tolls. 3 days after assured restoration of water supply by sector minister, affected residents still suffer shortage in parts of Accra. Controller and Accountant General plans to roll out electronic salary payment system from next payday. Government and opposition leaders in Ukraine sign political deal to end violent protests that have claimed dozens of lives so far. And Venezuela's president revokes accreditation of CNN reporter for alleged misreportage of anti-government protests. First, the summary with Doreen Ampofu.
The late BBC broadcaster Komla Dumo will be laid to rest today in a private family burial. Radio Ghana joins in paying tribute to the homegrown media icon in a piece by Rosemary Gazy. All entries into the University of Ghana have been closed with the exception of the Okponglo End. This follows the suspension of the collection of tolls by the university, at Vice Chancellor Professor Ernest Aite, who announced this, called on government to redeem its promise of paying the $2.3 million the university contracted for infrastructural projects. And government and opposition leaders in Ukraine have signed a political deal to end violent protests that have claimed dozens of lives. Meanwhile, thousands of protesters have remained in Kiev's main square despite a deal signed by the two political parties.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
The news in detail. It is said that every beginning has an end. So shall birth lead to death. To the Dumo, Gbo and allied families, as well as the global Inki fraternity, a great tree has fallen, and it is no other person than their grandchild, son, brother, husband, father, colleague, and beloved friend, Komla Afeke Dumo. Radio Ghana joins in paying tribute to the homegrown media icon in this piece by Rosemary Gazy.
Passing just about 18 days into the year 2014 was a hard-hit news to be broken by one of his own.
This is probably one of the most difficult intros I've ever had to read, and one that I never believed I would have to. But this weekend, Komla Dumo died. Even saying those words feels totally unreal. My fellow presenter and friend here at BBC World News suffered what's believed to have been a heart attack.
With the pouring in of uncountable tributes from far and near, it is no exaggeration that Komla Dumo touched many lives, including those who never knew him. Just listen in as Komla's BBC colleagues testify to this.
Our audiences have been pouring their hearts out since the news, but it's a big blow to us, the Focus on Africa family, because Komla was not only a colleague, but a friend.
They talked about his voice, his smile, and he really touched people through that radio or through that TV. He touches us on a daily basis here in the newsroom, but he touches thousands of people around the world.
For me, one thing that stood out about Komla, especially as an African journalist, is he loved the continent he came from. And he knew that the way Africa had been covered over the last 30, 40 years wasn't the only story.
Born to a family of academics on October 3, 1972 in Accra, Komla initially studied preclinical medicine at the University of Jos, Nigeria, but left for his home country, Ghana, and had his national service with the school's broadcast department of the state broadcaster, GBC. He later graduated with a BSc in Sociology and Psychology at the University of Ghana and from Harvard University with an MA in Public Administration. He joined Joy FM as a traffic reporter and later the morning show host and won the 2003 Journalist of the Year Award before joining the BBC in London in 2006. Nigerian-born BBC's Peter Okoche was a pal from school.
Komla Kadi, as I like to call him. I met him 25 years ago. We were both at University of Jos in central Nigeria together. I was studying theatre and he came in to study medicine. We split ways after I left school and then met up again at the BBC. He was gifted with humanity. He treated everyone as an equal. For, as a journalist, a president's story was just as important as the story of a market woman. He believed that both of them should weigh the same on his scale as a journalist. Cab drivers in Accra, Ghana were his friends, just like presidents. I mean, he was just such a cool customer.
His exploits were not without professional jealousy as he got his boss's nod to handle opportunistic interviews.
Everyone wanted the big interviews with the Mandela family. Who did they give them to?
Komla. Of course. And, you know, just funny enough, last week, I mean...
If he wasn't so blooming lovely, you could end up with quite a lot of professional jealousy.
Well, you could, because exactly the first time I'd seen him this year. I'd just come back from a holiday in Nigeria, and I asked him, well, how did you manage? Because I know the whole world wanted that interview with Mandela's daughter. How did you manage? And he said, Charlie, you know, that's the word he used for everyone. He said, Charlie, you know how we do this thing, you know how we do this thing, you know. But he was a gifted journalist, and it's the manner, the affect he had with people. So people wanted to talk to him.
In a Twitter message, Ghana's president, John Mahama, described Komla as a broadcaster of exceptional quality and Ghana's gift to the world. Ben Dochemalo, formerly of BBC, confirms his mentee's world appeal.
He is the best international TV broadcaster Ghana has produced. I don't think there is any question about that. I don't know of any other Ghanaians who managed from being groomed in Ghana here, improved and worked hard to the standards where their level of competence was better than even what you would find internationally. He goes to the BBC, he shines, and he opened doors not just for Ghanaians, he opened doors for Africans, anybody. I was at the memorial in Peter Horrocks, whom Komla regularly mentioned as someone who saw the good in him and the potential. Peter Horrocks, one of the editors, was saying that when they did a focus group thing somewhere, either in China or Hong Kong, a Chinese man wrote and said that they liked Komla because they felt Komla was just like them. So Komla's appeal, Komla's professionalism, Komla's excellence went beyond just Ghanaians, it went beyond Africans. It went out there to the whole world. That's why we can say Komla was a gift from Ghana to the world. He broke ceilings. He blazed a trail.
In summary, this is how the Ghana Journalist Association qualifies him.
Komla has modeled the way for both old and new generations of journalists to kill themselves, to use every fiber of their being, every moment of their time, every atom of their energy, and every portion of their skill to make a mark. GJ is so proud that we produced such an international icon and a professional gem. We're pelted with all kinds of rubber stones for nominating him and indeed crowning him as Journalist of the Year in 2003. But his exploits and strides, both locally and internationally, have vindicated the rectitude of the choice. Komla, rest in perfect peace.
But in all these, what do the Dumo and allied families, including the wife, Kwansuma, and children, Elenam, Elom, and Emifa, make of their beloved's exploits and life without him? Esther Koba speaks for them.
For the Dumo and allied family, Komla was a gift given to the world through them. As we can see, Komla has left a worldwide legacy. Komla's life has touched so many people, and they're just so grateful to God for this life and what it has done. Kamla loved his family dearly. His children were just his passion. And then he wanted to see the best for Ghana and the best for Africa. And he dedicated himself to telling the African story from a passionate African heart and in a very excellent manner. And we thank God for his life.
Happy New Year.
Kickoff is just a few hours from now. And you know what? I do work for the BBC, but it's time for me to show my true colors.
And that's the latest BBC News. I'm Kamla Dumo.
This voice is no more, but his works remain worthy to be revered. Hedenye. Fare thee well, Kamla Afeka Dumo. For Radio Ghana, I'm Rose Migezi in Accra.
May his soul rest in perfect peace. And away from that, the University of Ghana has closed all entries into the school with the exception of the Okpunglu end. This follows the suspension of the collection of tolls by the university. Its Vice Chancellor, Professor Ernest Aitu, announced the suspension and subsequent closure of the entries, called on government to redeem its promise of paying for the $2.3 million the university contracted for infrastructural projects. The closure of the entry points means there will be only one entry and exit for the public. There are fears that the decision by the university will compound the traffic situation on the Tetekwashi Madina route.
The decision to toll the routes or not toll the routes is one that is reserved for the University of Ghana Council. So the council that has to respond to it. Council is currently weighing various options. It is mindful of its responsibility to the people of Ghana to obey directives from government. It's also mindful of its responsibility to manage this university in the best possible way to ensure that the university is able to achieve its highest potential. In view of all the different things going on, and in view of the various tensions and misrepresentations and efforts to make the university look much worse than it should be looked at, Council believes that we should be considering complying with the directive of the Minister of Roads and Highways representing the government. That's the view, that we should begin to comply with the directive.
And that was the Vice Chancellor of the University of Ghana, Professor Ernest Aiti.
Meanwhile, the two students who sued the University of Ghana for illegal road tolls say they will not drop the legal suit against the university despite the suspension of tolling. The lawyer for the two, Egbert Table, said the suspension does not make the earlier road tolling legitimate. Speaking to Radio Ghana in Accra, Mr. Fabio explained that the issue at the Supreme Court is whether the University of Ghana has the right to collect tolls from the public.
Well, I am indifferent to it because it is just a mere suspension of the collection of the tolls. The issue is, for me, whether it is lawful for the University of Ghana to toll its roads when the Minister of Roads and Transport has not published any legislative instrument or LI designating the University of Ghana's roads as toll roads as provided for by the Tolls Act.
Well, so does it mean your clients too will reconsider their legal action, or you will pursue it to its logical conclusion?
Oh, I think the matter will be pursued to its logical conclusion because, you see, as I've already indicated, the issue is, for me, at this stage, it's been suspended. The suspension doesn't mean a cancellation. It means that it can be brought back at any time. Now, the larger issue beyond all of this also is that if, for instance, the University of Ghana even will announce that it has ended the collection of tolls today, it doesn't make the earlier collection of tolls legitimate.
The chairman of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Roads and Transport, Michael Kofi Boampong, says the decision to suspend tolling has come as a relief to the committee.
This hullabaloo about these tolls has not come to Parliament for approval. And even when the two committees, I mean Education Committee and Roads and Transport Committee, when we met, our final report, even we've not laid it before Parliament. I think we're all suggesting to the authorities of the University of Ghana to at least stick to the sickest instead of the tolling. So, in fact, it came as a very big relief to me when I heard this news this morning.
But would you agree with those who say that the decision has come too late?
Sure, I'll agree with them, because we are all expecting at least the government to come out earlier than this.
Chairman of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Roads and Transport, Michael Kofi Boapong.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: late Kumla Adumo finally goes home today. University of Ghana blocks all entries to the school except to Punglu End. Meanwhile, Parliament expresses relief at announced suspension of school's road tolls. 3 days after assured water restoration of water supply by sector minister, affected residents still suffer water shortage in parts of Accra. Controller and Accountant General plans to roll out electronic salary payment system from next payday. Government and opposition leaders in Ukraine signed political deal to end violent protests that have claimed dozens of lives so far. And Venezuela's president revokes accreditation of CNN reporter for alleged misreportage of anti-government protests.
GBC, your authentic and trustworthy voice of Ghana, launches its digital channels on Wednesday, 26th February 2014. You can watch 4 free-to-air digital television channels from Ghana's premier broadcaster. Your original and premium channel, GTV, goes digital. In addition, GTV Sports Plus, GBC 24, and GBC Live. Yes, 4 free digital channels for the family from your time-tested and cherished broadcasting network, GBC. GTV, the authentic and trustworthy voice of Ghana. GTV Sports Plus, the legends live here. GBC 24, Ghana's first 24-hour all-news channel. And GBC Live, your religion and culture channel. 2 more stations will also be added on at a later date. These are GBC Govern, Demystifying Governance, and Obonu TV, Nile Song. Join us on Wednesday, 26th February, at the forecourt of the GBC Inner Reception at 6:30 p.m. as we launch 4 authentic and trustworthy channels. The launch will be broadcast live on all GBC networks at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday, 26th February. Sit back, watch, and hear us live in the comfort of your home. GBC, the authentic and trusted voice of the nation.
Welcome back. The Ministry of Water Resources, Works and Housing has assured residents of Accra of regular water flow as engineers work round the clock to restore supply. Speaking to the media at Pong, the Minister Alhaji Collins Dauda said personnel are feverishly working to restore water to affected communities. Meanwhile, the Minister has described as needless the directive by the PURC not to shut down the Pong treatment plant. He said the ministry will not intentionally do anything to inconvenience the public, adding that the planned shutdown of the Pong water treatment plant for 3 to 4 days is to embark on the rehabilitation of pipelines to improve water supply to the eastern part of Accra. Harriet Sapong and Joan Apakli have filed this report.
The problem of irregular water supply in Accra and its environs is an age-old problem facing the metropolis. Many have attributed this to factors such as old pipelines, illegal connections, inefficiencies on the part of the Ghana Water Company Limited, as well as expansion of residential areas. In a bid to solve the issue, the Minister of Water Resources, Works and Housing is giving the sector a facelift by replacing old pipelines with new ones. This has compounded the problem of water shortage in the metropolis, thereby causing a lot of inconvenience assurances to consumers. The visit by the minister to both the Pong and Wajat water treatment plants is therefore to ascertain progress of work in order to alleviate the plight of the affected communities. At both plants, workers were seen working feverishly to restore water flow. The minister, Alhaji Collins Dauda, explained the rationale for the announced shutdown of the Pong treatment plant.
The rationale behind the shutdown is that the treatment plant you find here has some pumps which were constructed as far back as 1965. At the time, the population of Greater Accra wasn't as big as it is today, and therefore consumption levels were not the same. As you have seen yourself, we have done the work up to a point where there is need for us to connect this new one onto the old one. The benefit of what we are doing is that we are going to add on 13.3 million gallons of water to the 40 that we produce. We know that during the shutdown period will create a lot of inconvenience to our consumers, particularly those who are served from this plant, that is the eastern part of Accra and Tema. We'll plead with them. I would want to take opportunity to add that when we planned this operation, we didn't know that we'll have a problem at Weja. We have shut down the Weja plant as a result of the defect on the transmission line. Until that one is fixed and we can assure ourselves that we'll not have any problem in terms of producing from Weja, we may not carry out this exercise. It do not make sense to shut down Weja and also shut down Pong. So we monitor the progress and performance of what we are doing in Weja and assure ourselves that we have no problem there before we do this. Within that 4 days, we'll put in place contingency measures. Hospitals, schools, factories and others are being served from this plant.
Minister of Water Resources, Works and Housing, Alhaji Collins Dauda, ending that report by Harriet Sapon and Jonah Quackley.
The MPP caucus in Parliament has urged members of the party to refrain from what it termed landmine pronouncements that have the tendency to undermine the peace, unity and cohesion of the party. A statement signed by the minority leader, Seyi Mensah Bonsu, and issued to the media in Parliament observes that the conduct and pronouncements of some key personalities in the party have the potential of creating problem for whoever may be elected as national executives and presidential candidate for the next election. The statement stressed the need for supporters of various aspirants and people vying for national positions to be circumspect with their pronouncements. It said in a multi-party system like what pertains in Ghana, a political party that is able to attract neutrals is the party that wins elections. It said floating voters will not be attracted if the house of the NPP is perceived to be on fire and divided on tribal lines. The deputy minority leader and MP for Bimbila, Dominic Nitiwu, in an interview with our parliamentary correspondent, pointed out that the party should not expect Ghanaians to help it win power if members cannot manage their internal wranglings.
A land management expert and lawyer, Nana Odeneho Chiramateng, says majority of Ghanaian workers are not in a position to buy or acquire their own houses due to the meager salaries they receive. He said government should therefore collaborate with the financial institutions to mortgage facilities to them. In an interview with Radio Ghana, Nana Chiramateng said though the private sector can put up the 1.5 million housing deficit in the country, the problem lies with demand and affordability. He was emphatic that due to the low wages and salaries, just about 1% of workers can afford such houses, hence the need to support the rest to rent or access mortgage facilities.
It's not everybody on this earth that can build a house or buy a house. We should not deceive ourselves to think that a population of 25 million, everybody by the 20 years time, maybe an adult, should have a house. It can't work that way. The whole Ghana, as I sit with you today, has only a housing stock as per 2010 population census, housing census, about 3.2 million housing units.
Can we ever make up for the deficit?
the figures that they promote, and they've been saying that we have 1.5 million housing deficit. If I look at it and I laugh. I laugh because the mere fact that you say that you are having a housing deficit doesn't mean that when you provide a house, there will be effective demand for it. Because the people don't have the money to buy the houses.
But are you saying that the demand for the house is not that
high? It's just not there. It's just not there. Just about 1% of the population can afford to. Let's go back to houses. They will tell you 90% of the housing stock, the effective ones, the good ones, the quality ones, about 90% of the houses are privately owned by private means. Yeah. A country that says that they don't have money, a country that says that per capita is about 1,200, and you tell me that 90% of the houses are privately owned by private means, but it means there's something seriously wrong. Have we asked ourselves, those who have got those houses, how many taxes have they ever paid? How much have they earned in their lifetime to own those houses? We don't ask. We continue to be claiming there's too much corruption in Ghana. The people, it all goes to that place. Anybody you catch, you take him to police station and you search him, he's your worker, and you tell him he has stolen your money. And you just ask his household, what is happening to the money he stole? The first thing is that he went and bought a land. Second was to find a used car. Third is to have a girlfriend and give him some of the money for the person to go and put it down so that they can get married later.
So Nana, are you saying that workers cannot genuinely acquire land and then build their own properties?
I'm not saying that workers cannot genuinely acquire workers, but I'm saying that let the state raise the money and then give it in the form of a wholesale farm. So that on the housing, urban housing program, people who are qualified to go and acquire properties will go through their intermediations like commercial banks and then go and raise the funds and go and buy their own house.
You heard the land management expert and lawyer, Nana Odenaho Chiremating.
The Ashanti Regional Security Council, RegSec, says it has taken some actions to forestall any breach of security and order in the Kumasi metropolis as a result of forcible ejection of traders from the Adishiman Gardens in Kumasi. As part of the measures, RegSec has directed that both the concerned traders and the supposed owner of the land in contention, Wanana Osei Tutu, popularly known as Kwame Ubi Diaba, should stay away from the disputed land until further notice. A statement signed by the chairman of RegSec, Eric Opoku, who is also the regional minister, said a joint military and police task force has been assigned with immediate effect to take charge of the site to avoid any act of lawlessness in the vicinity. The statement said RegSec takes a serious view of the forcible ejection in view of its security implications in the region. It appeals to all parties in the issue, especially the affected traders operating in and around the Adishiman Gardens, to remain calm and cooperate with the security agencies in an effort to restore peace.
The Ghana Integrated Financial Management Information System, GIFMIS, will fully roll out an electronic salary payment voucher in the Greater Accra region by the end of March 2014. The Acting Controller and Accountant General, Grace Adjei, said the system, if functional, will improve.
So, there is no
payment of salaries. Adam Adjei said this at a sensitization workshop for heads of MDAs and MMDAs on the electronic salary payment voucher in Accra. Rukia Tumusa and Miriam Foster Tete have more.
The electronic salary payment voucher was introduced in line with government's commitment to minimize the high wage bill of public servants and to ensure effective and efficient management of the payroll by eliminating unauthorized payments. The system was piloted in Kolebu Teaching Hospital and the Controller and Accountant General's Department. The Acting Controller and Accountant General, Grace Adjei, urged heads of departments and human resource managers to ensure that when ministries, departments and agencies and metropolitan, municipal and district assemblies are rolled onto the electronic salary payment voucher system, certification of the payroll will be a precondition for payment of workers' salaries.
The timeline set for validation and certification of the payment voucher is 48 hours after data is made available. In line with the policy, any head of department who fails to certify, and the policies we are mentioning here are not just for CAGD but have been endorsed at the higher level. And this is the only media we can begin to communicate this to you. Yes, we are developing guidelines on this ESTV. Very soon we'll be rolling them out. But we believe that this kind of fora afford us the opportunity to take in as much as possible as to what is this all about this new system.
Acting Controller and Accountant General Grace Adjei, ending that report by Rukia Tumusa and Miriam Foster Tete.
We are back after this break.
GBC
the authentic and trustworthy voice of Ghana, launches its digital channels on Wednesday, 26th February 2014. You can watch four free-to-air digital television channels from Ghana's premier broadcaster. Your original and premium channel, GTV, goes digital. In addition, GTV Sports Plus, GBC 24, and GBC Live. Yes, four free digital channels for the family from your time-tested and cherished broadcasting network, GBC. GTV, the authentic and trustworthy voice of Ghana. GTV Sports Plus, the legends live here. GBC 24, Ghana's first 24-hour all-news channel. And GBC Live, your religion and culture channel. Two more stations will also be added on at a later date. These are GBC Govern, Demystifying Governance, and Obonu TV, Nile Song. Join us on Wednesday, 26th February, at the forecourt of the GBC Inner Reception at 6:30 p.m. as we launch four authentic and trustworthy channels. The launch will be broadcast live on all GBC networks at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday, 26th February. Sit back, watch, and hear us live in the comfort of your home. GBC, the authentic and trusted voice of the nation.
Welcome back. On the foreign front, thousands of protesters have remained in Kiev's main square despite a deal aimed at ending Ukraine's political crisis in which dozens have died. The pact signed by President Viktor Yanukovych and the opposition says a unity government will be formed and presidential election held. But many protesters do not believe Mr. Yanukovych can be trusted.
And Venezuela has revoked the accreditation of CNN's Caracas-based reporter Osmary Hernandez. Two other CNN journalists who had been sent to Venezuela to cover the country's political crisis have also had their working permits cancelled. President Nicolas Maduro had vowed to expel CNN unless it rectified its coverage of recent opposition matters. Eight people have been killed in a series of protests that began this month.
Now to end the news, the main points again. The late BBC broadcaster Komla Dumo will be laid to rest today in a private family burial. We do Ghana joins in paying tribute to the homegrown media icon. And all entries in the University of Ghana have been closed with the exception of the Opongolo end. This follows the suspension of the collection of tolls by the university. Its Vice-Chancellor, Professor Ernest Aite, who announced this, called on government to redeem its promise of paying the $2.3 million the university contracted for infrastructural projects. The news was presented by Samuel Essa
and Oyinapofina Kwa.